Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part one of My Best Friend is Invisible by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm recording this in my office music room place where I just spent lots of hours and money putting together a proper recording booth with like padded walls and, you know, using acoustic measuring software and shit to get it all right. But I'm just recording this in the middle of the room where we haven't put up the bass traps or anything. So feet away is a nice booth, but I'd rather sit here comfortably. The new place is great. I've been busy as fuck. And let's see. The cover of this book has a cat that's freaking out looking at what appears to be an invisible person because they are holding a box of pizza. Actually, maybe it's an invisible person with four arms because they're holding a box of pizza, or maybe it's flying off the counter and poorly painted. There's a bite of pizza that's taken out with cheese attached to it going into what I think is the mouth with a can of soda being held in the air and then the drawer pulled out and the cat is like looking like one would look like, what the fuck, dude? What are you doing to the pizza? Like its jaws drop so low it's twice the size of its head. Freaking out, man. It's freaking out. Fuck, what has been going on? I don't know. I live in this new place. I commute a longer distance. My work has been very stressful. I finished this giant project I was working on for like a month and a half, and then the day before I finished it, another one like plopped on my desk, and I'm like, motherfucker. Drinking a Steel Reserve. You know where to contact me, right? At Dune on Twitter. I did another podcast called Dimension Bucket, which was very short, but I don't think it's out till April 1st for April Fools. Like, I think the April Fools joke is like, look at old Drunkle Stiltskin Reddit and not me, which is a podcast that, first off, I think mine started like 5 years earlier, but still, is someone reading something without commentary, and he writes a lot of it too, so he's ahead of me on that part, and... I keep getting texts, so I'm a little freaked out. But my point was, dear God, did I already lose my goddamn point? The podcast he started, oh, he does public domain shit and creepypastas and stuff he writes and stuff that's so old that you can do it that's creepy. So he has no chance of like dealing with copyright bullshit, which I obviously do as the old DuneReadsGoosebumps.com is shut down. Anyway. I have got like 15 texts since the start of this intro, which is insane. I'm just going to start this first chapter. We'll see how it goes. Part one of My Best Friend is Invisible by R.L. Stine, Dune Reads Goosebumps, chapter number one. I sat at the dinner table and wished I was invisible. Isn't that I wished I were invisible? I don't know. Either me or R.L. Stine are off to a real bad start here. If I were invisible, oh god damn it, now it's confusing me even more. I could sneak away from dinner without finishing my string beans, and I could creep up to my room and finish the book of ghost stories I'd been reading. I started to daydream. I'm Sammy Jacobs, the invisible boy, I told myself. I tried to picture how I'd look if I were invisible. That seems easy. Even as someone that doesn't have any, like, visible thought process when I'm imagining things, as it were, I still know what an invisible person looks like. Yeah, look at this wall here. There's, like, 30 invisible people in front of it. There's no one there.
Last week, I saw a movie about an invisible man. You couldn't see his face or his body, but when he ate, you could see the food digesting in his invisible stomach.
Wait, so all like the bacteria that lives independently inside of his stomach that possibly controls all of our wants and needs is invisible, but the food isn't? Whatever.
It was totally gross. I loved it. Staring at my string beans, I pictured them rolling around in my stomach. My parents' voices droned on in the background. My parents are research scientists. They work in a college lab. They do weird things with light and lasers.
You mean they just eat acid and go to the laser show and listen to Pink Floyd?
And then they come home and talk about their weird work at dinner. And talk about their work. And then talk about their work.
It's not me repeating myself, it's the book. But it was confusing because I thought my brain broke because of the eating acid.
My 10-year-old brother, Simon, and I can't get a word in. We have to sit and listen to them talk about light refraction and ocular impediments and playing the back nine, wink. I don't know what that one means. Neither of my parents even golf. I am a science fiction freak. I love reading science fiction books and comics, and I rent any movie that has an alien from another planet in it. I just rented Species, and I can't wait to watch it again and again, and then suddenly I'm not that interested in comics, I'm just interested in the girl that's in Species. But when I have to listen to my parents talk about their work, I feel like an alien from another planet. I mean, I can't understand a single word they say. Hey, Mom and Dad, I tried to get into the conversation. Guess what? I grew a tail today. Mom and Dad didn't hear me. They were too busy arguing about something called morphology. I wish you'd morphology into a woman who could cook. I wish you morphology into a man with a dick that's bigger than 2.5 inches. You shut up! That's what they said, apparently. Oh, God, that's an inappropriate conversation for the dinner table, ain't it? Actually, I grew 2 tails, I said, louder. They didn't give a shit. Dad was drawing some kind of chart on his napkin. I was really bored. I kicked Simon under the table, just for something to do. Ow, stop it, Sammy, he cried. He kicked me back. I kicked him again. Dad kept scribbling numbers all over his napkin. It's just the word 69 with a question mark like 8 times. Mom squinted at his chart. Simon kicked me back. Too hard. Whoa, I screamed. My hands flew up, and I sent my dinner plate flying. Splat! Into my lap. A whole plate full of spaghetti and all the string beans slid down my jeans. Look what Simon made me do, I shouted like a little bitch. You started it, Simon protested and had a legitimate point. Mom glanced up from the chart. At least I got her attention. And maybe I'd even get Simon into trouble. Simon never gets yelled at. He's good. Mom's gaze shifted from me to Simon. Simon, Mom started. All right, I thought. Simon is in for it now. Help your clumsy brother clean up, Mom said. Sick burn, Mom. She glanced down the floor and pointed to the pile of paschetti. And make sure you mop up this mess. Then she grabbed Dad's pencil and scribbled a bunch of numbers next to his. Simon tried to help me clean up, but I pushed him away and did it myself. Was I steamed? Steamed as motherfucking broccoli. It doesn't even say that. It's not even an expression. And normally I just boil broccoli because I don't know how to steam things. I do. It's just more effort than throwing a pot with water. I like vegetables. Anyway, was I steamed? Take a guess. Okay. Maybe the spaghetti wasn't Simon's fault, but nothing is ever Simon's fault, ever. Why? I told you, Simon is the good one. He never waits until the last minute to do his homework. He never has to be reminded to throw his clothes in the hamper, or take out the garbage, or wipe his feet when he comes in the house. What kind of kid is that? A mutant, if you ask me. Simon is a mutant, I mumbled as I used my napkin to wipe my dinner from my lap. My brother, the mutant, I smiled. I like the sound of that. It would make a good science fiction movie, I decided because I was like 8 and I don't have good ideas about science fiction movies. I tossed the paper napkin into the trash and returned to the table. Well, at least I won't have to eat any more string beans, I thought, staring down at my empty plate. Wrong. Sammy, give me your dish. I'll refill it. Mom stood up, took my plate, and slipped on the spaghetti on the floor. Dude, are you going to cripple your mom because you're such a fuck-up that you can't clean up spaghetti? Uh-oh. I watched as she lost her balance and slid across the kitchen. I laughed. I couldn't help it. I mean, she looked pretty funny, sliding across the floor like that, like some sort of retarded Michael Jackson. Who laughed? Mom turned to face us. Was it you, Simon? Of course not, Simon answered. Of course not. Simon's favorite words. Simon, do you want to watch TV? Of course not. Simon, do you want to play ball? Of course not. Hey, Simon, do you want to look under the sink for something we can huff? Of course not. Want to hear a joke? Of course not. Hey, here, let's turn off the light so it's not gay. Of course not. Simon would never laugh at Mom. Simon did only serious things. Simon, the serious mutant. Mom turned to me and let out a long sigh. She returned to the table with my plate, refilled with lots more string beans. Great. Disappear? Disappear? I stared at my string beans and chanted silently. Last week, I read a story about a kid who could make things disappear just by concentrating hard. It wasn't working for me. I can't wait for Saturday to come, I said, burying the string beans under the paschetti. Why? Simon was the only one who asked. I'm gonna see school spirit, motherfucker. Alpha check, mega check, kappa check, sigma. I don't think omega was in there. Point is, I love Kanye, I told him. School spirit? Dad glanced up from his napkin chart. His eyes finally wide with interest. School spirit is great! Who has school spirit? Nobody, Dad. School Spirit is the name of a new movie. It's about a ghost that haunts an old boarding school, I explained. I'm going to see it on Saturday. Dad placed his pencil down. I wish you were more interested in real science, Sammy. I think real science is even stranger than fantasy stuff that you like. But ghosts are real, Dad, Sammy said, like Dune's fiancé. Your dad and I are scientists, Sammy, Mom said. We don't believe in things like ghosts. Well, you're wrong, I declared. If ghosts don't exist, then who have I been buying all that booberry from, bitch? Nah, that's not what he said. If ghosts don't exist, why have there been stories about them for hundreds of years? Besides, this movie isn't fantasy stuff, I told them. It's a true story. Real kids were interviewed for it. Kids who swear they saw the ghost in school. Mom shook her head. Dad chuckled. What are you doing in school, Simon? Seen any ghosts lately? Of course not, Simon replied. I'm starting my science project this week. It's called How Fast Do We Grow? It's about boners. I'm going to study myself for 6 months and make a growth graph for every part of my body. Every part, Father. And we're doing a saliva displacement test for one part. That's wonderful, Mom said. Very original, Dad exclaimed. Let us know if we can help. Oh, brother, I mumbled, rolling my eyes. Can I be excused? I pushed my chair away from the table. Roxanne is coming over to do math homework. Roxanne! Johnson and I are both in the same 7th grade class. We like to compete against each other, just for fun. At least, I think it's for fun. Sometimes I'm not sure what Roxanne thinks. Anyway, she's one of my best friends. She likes science fiction too. We plan to see School Spirit together. I went upstairs to search for my math book. I opened the door to my room. I stepped inside and gasped. All right. Starting a new tall canister reserve. My fiance is currently out right now with her mom. And I'm hoping that they don't get home and like, let's go to dinner now. And I'm like, fuck, I am shit ripped. So we'll see how that goes. But until then. Chapter 2. My homework papers lay scattered all over the floor. I'm not exactly the neatest kid in the world, but I do not throw my homework on the floor. Not usually, anyway. Well, at least not today. Brutus, my orange cat, sat in the middle of the mess with his head buried underneath a pile of papers. Ah, this paperwork keeps piling up, Dilbert comic. Brutus, did you do this? Hey, yo, Brutus, did you do this? Then who did? You're useless. I don't know. I demanded. Brutus jerked his head up. He glanced at me, then darted under my bed to hide. Hmm, that's weird, I thought. Brutus actually looks scared. That's definitely weird. Brutus never hides from anything. Hold up. Heyo. All right, it's now, what, a week and a half later, maybe? And I'm trying to catch up on this. I just listened back on it and was very upset by my lack of knowledge of Kanye lyrics. Maybe I was very drunk on that one, but we'll see. Speaking of drunk, I'm a little out of it as I had a party here last night at our new place, like a kind of small housewarming kickback kind of party of sorts. And a little hungover, woke up and immediately started running errands. And I finally just finished shit and can get down to the goosebumps. All right. Once again, drinking Steel Reserve. Because I learned nothing from my mistakes. Brutus never hides from anything. In fact, he's the meanest cat in the neighborhood. Every kid on the block has been scratched by Brutus at least once. Well, isn't that a public health risk? I looked out the window. It was open. The light blue curtains billowed in the breeze. Blood. I gathered my papers from the floor. The wind probably blew them off my desk, I guessed. Wait a minute. Something was wrong. I stared at the window. I could swear I left that window closed. But then again, when God shuts a door, he does open a window, so maybe the door was shut and God just opened a window. That checks out. Speaking of cats, why are you using the chair as a scratching post? You've been leaving me alone until I started recording. What the fuck? But I couldn't have. I mean, there it was, wide open. What are you looking at? Roxanne stepped into my room. Something weird is going on here, I told her, shutting the window. I closed this before dinner. Now, it's open. Your mom must have opened it, she said. You know how women are. Opening windows, closing windows. You can't keep track of them. What's the big deal anyway? It's just a window. It's no big deal, I said. But my mom didn't open it. Neither did Dad or Simon. We were all downstairs. I shook my head. I know I closed it. Brutus was the only one up here, and he didn't open it. I peered under the bed. There was Brutus, snuggling against my sneakers, shaking. Come on, Brutus, come out, I urged softly. Don't be afraid. I know she's scary, but it's only Roxanne. Very funny, Sammy. Roxanne rolled her eyes. I'll tell you what's scary. Your brother is scary. What do you mean? I asked. I passed him on the way up here. Do you know what he was doing? She asked. No, I said. He was lying on the living room floor on a huge piece of cardboard, tracing himself. Roxanne replied. Maybe he was just breakdancing on the cardboard. That's what me and my bros do. We get some 40s, get a couple pieces of cardboard, lay them out in the street, put a hat down, put on some break beats, and just dance and dance and dance. We can make hundreds of dollars a day doing that. Hundreds every day, I guarantee you. I shrugged. He must be working on his science project. He's studying himself. Your brother is definitely scary, she said. I'll tell you something else that's scary. The way you ran today. That was very, very scary. I didn't think anyone could run that slow. Roxanne beat me in the track race at school today. She wasn't going to let me forget it. You won because of only one reason, I told her. And what is that one reason? She mimicked me. I slid halfway under the bed and dragged Brutus out, stalling for time. Stalling so I could come up with one good reason. You won because I let you, I said finally. That's very condescending. Yeah, right, Sammy. Roxanne folded her arms across her chest. I did. I let you, I insisted. Roxanne's cheeks turned red. Roxanne, you don't have to have those red cheeks anymore. I could see she was getting really steamed. Making Roxanne angry is fun. I let you win because I wanted to help build up your confidence for the school Olympics, I said. Whoa, that made Roxanne even angrier. Roxanne doesn't like help from anyone, and she likes me to think she's the best at Urathang. Our school is going to compete against other schools in a mini Olympics next week. Roxanne and I are both on the Olympic team. We were both on the team last year, too. Roxanne ran every single day to make sure she was the best. Roxanne, nothing's ever gonna keep her down except for her best friend trying to shatter her confidence for no reason. But last year, we lost. I guess it was my fault. A camera flashed to my face. I tripped and fell. You lost fair and square today, Sammy, and you know it. Roxanne snapped. And you'd better not trip next week and make us lose the Olympics again. Last year wasn't my fault, I cried, but Roxanne interrupted me. Hey, what's wrong with Brutus? She asked, peering over my shoulder. I turned around and saw Brutus sitting in the corner, curled up in a tight ball. I don't know, he's acting kind of strange today, I said. I know, she agreed. He didn't even try to scratch me yet. He's been acting nice. Brutus stood. He glanced at the window and arched his back. Then he turned completely around and sat down facing the wall. Weird. So, what are we going to do for our term project? Roxanne was axing, plopping down on my bed. Our term project for English class was due next month. Mrs. Starkling, our teacher, wanted us to work in pairs. She said working in pairs would help us learn about teamwork and cooperation, but all we learned is that no one ever pulls their share and everyone's an asshole and group projects are stupid. I have a really great idea, I said. How about a report on plants? You know, how much water they need. Shit like that. You know, plant shit. Everyone loves plant shit. That's a really great idea, Roxanne replied. If you're in kindergarten. Okay, let me think. I stood up and paced the room. Got it. How about the life cycle of a moth? We could catch some and see how long they take to die. Roxanne stared at me. She nodded her head thoughtfully. I think that's really stupid, she said. So much for teamwork and cooperation. Fine, I folded my arms in front of me. Why don't you try to come up with an idea? I already have, Roxanne declared. I think we should do a report on true haunted houses. I know a haunted house right here in Middletown. It's near the woods across from the college. I bet we'll find a real ghost living there, and then we can bust in, ghost bust in, with an all-female lineup, ghost bust in, yeah. There are no haunted houses in Middletown, I said. I know all about haunted houses, and there isn't one anywhere near here. There's one near Old Dune and you know, the Whaley House. I guess it's not near me anymore. It was near me until I moved. I'm just saying. The house near the woods is haunted, Roxanne insisted. And that's what we should study for our report. I'll talk to the ghosts and take notes. Ghost notes. Ooh, that's my new podcast. Your job will be to videotape us. Roxanne never backs down. Sometimes that's what I like about her. And sometimes that's what I hate about her. Like now. Don't waste your time, Roxanne. I'm practically an expert on ghosts. The house is not haunted. I tried to give Roxanne some good advice. A bad mistake. You just don't want to videotape us. You want to be the one who talks to the ghost and takes the notes, she accused. I let out a sigh. Bitch. But it was my idea, so I get to pick first. Roxanne said. Miss Starkling, will go crazy when we find a real ghost for our project. We'll probably win an award or something. You know, some sort of ghost award, because those are things. We won't find any ghosts in this town. I shook my head. This place is too boring. Nothing exciting ever happens here. ... I mean, something is exciting, you know? Or something exciting is gonna happen because it's a Goosebumps book. That'd be funny if he just did a whole book that was like all the lead up stuff, just the character development. He's like, and then no weird shit happened. Anyway, thanks for your money. Keep paying me all the time. I stopped talking. like Dune should have a while ago. A low, frightening moan filled the room. Roxanne! Oh, Dune reads Goosebumps. Jumped off the bed. She moved close to me like the Cure song. We slowly turned toward the sound coming from the hall. What's that? Roxanne's voice shook, pointing to the doorway. We both stared in horror as an eerie light just outside my room. An eerie white light. We took a step back. The light grew brighter. Light bright. Closer. It filled the doorway now. Bright light. I held my breath. Sammy, what is it? Roxanne's voice quivered like Robin. I don't know. I watched the strange white light begin to roll and shimmer and stretch as it reached for us. Chapter 3. We backed up against the wall. The light grew stronger, whiter, blinding now. Another moan floated toward us, and I gasped. A ghost, I cried. No, it's a dad? Dad stepped into the room, carrying some sort of bright light. Maybe it's a light bright, you know, he spelled out like, hey son, don't be such a pussy, and those little beads that you put in there. Do kids still have light brights? I had one, she was cash. That's about as real a ghost as you'll ever find, Dad laughed. My heart stopped pounding. I died. The end. JK, Brutus let out a loud wail and darted from the room. Whoa, I didn't think anything could scare that cat, Dad laughed again. Mom burst into the room. You said you were bringing that laser light home to repair it, not to terrify these kids, she scolded Dad. Give me a break, it's just a joke. Dad turned to us. You thought it was funny, right, Sammy? Roxanne? It was hard to hit that tone and make it a question, but I accomplished it because I'm a hero. That's all. Dune's a hero. Yeah, very funny, Dad, I said, rolling my eyes. One of your best jokes. A real riot. I knew it was a laser light. Roxanne moved back toward the bed. She sat down, trying to look cool like Dune. When I finally saw how scared Sammy was... Where'd I get finally? When I saw how scared Sammy was, I played along. Super trick, Mr. Jacobs. We really fooled Sammy. We really fooled Sammy? We? What, bitch? I wanted to strangle Roxanne. Sometimes I hate her. Hate in all capital letters, her in lowercase letters, but the hate was what was emphasized. Simon wandered into the room, carrying Brutus. Your stupid cat ran over my body tracing. He ruined it. Now I have to start all over again. Simon let Brutus drop to the floor. He glanced at the light Dad held in his hand. Then he looked at me. Sammy didn't fall for that dumb light trick, did he? He asked. Why don't you go watch your toes, Negro? I shouted at my brother. No, this is a different dumb light trick, Dad chuckled. Mom cleared her throat. A warning to Dad. Actually, Simon, this light is called a molecule detector light. Aren't there molecules everywhere? You don't have to detect them shits. All lights are molecule detecting lights. Dad tried to turn serious. Here, have a look at it. He handed the light to Simon. It looked like a regular flashlight, but it definitely wasn't. A regular flashlight didn't shine with a shimmery, white, blinding light. What does it do? Simon studied the shiny silver casing that housed the laser. I don't know, probably like looks at ghosts and shit, and it's going to come up later in this podcast. You know, we're going to use it to detect ghosts, right? Just saying. It's kind of like an X-ray, Dad explained. I can shine it in the air and see all kinds of insects and things that you normally can't see. I know what we can use it for. Simon turned the light toward me. We can use it to find Sammy's brain, because he's dumb as hell, boy. Everyone laughed, even Mom. Hey, good one. Roxanne patted Simon on the back. That's the first time I ever heard you make a joke.
I wasn't joking, Simon said flatly.
That made everyone laugh even harder.
Out! I yelled. I want you all to leave.
Mom, Dad, and Simon left the room, still laughing. What about our math homework?
Roxanne did.
Or I guess she just demanded.
I thought we were going to do it together.
I don't feel like doing it now.
I grumbled like a grump.
Okay.
Roxanne backed out of the room. You don't have to do it, but I do. Miss Starkling said it's my turn at the chalkboard tomorrow. I want to make sure I get the equations right.
Roxanne left to do her homework.
I opened my math book to do mine. I stared down at the numbers, but I couldn't concentrate.
I guess I can't get a job at Minute Maid because they make a lot of juices from concentrate. It's a free podcast.
I'll get up early, I decided, and do my homework in the morning. I got up from my desk to change for bed. Brutus jumped into my desk chair, his favorite place to sleep. I crossed the room and tripped on something in the middle of the floor. Hey, what was that?
I spun right round, baby, right round, spun around because Brutus the feline.
I glanced at the floor.
Huh?
Nothing there.
All right, I'm going to keep trudging through. This is my third day of recording this one, and I'm only on
chapter 4. What a transition. I stared at the floor. I shook my head. I tripped over nothing? It's a good thing Roxanne didn't see this one, I thought. I could hear her making fun of me now.
Practicing to make sure we lose the race next week, Sammy?
I got into bed.
Speaking of beds, you know where Franklin's bed is right now? Right on my lap. He's closer to the mic than me. Say hi, Franklin. Really, I can't make you even growl? All right.
I propped up my pillows and picked up the ghost story book I was reading. I stared down at the page, but it was all a blur, just like this page is for Dune. I closed the book and drifted off to sleep, but I tossed and turned all night long, half asleep, half awake, like morning wood. I fluffed up my pillow. I pulled the covers up around me. I drifted off again. Then I woke up to a noise. Fapping.
Oh wait, sorry, flapping. My uncle wasn't visiting.
The flapping of my curtains in the night breeze. I sat up. I rubbed my eyes. I stared out the window. The open window. I bolted out of bed and turned my swag on and then slammed the window shut. Who opened this window? Who? It is impossible. All right, is it possible for a window to slide up? No, that's not how gravity works, idiots. It must be Simon. Simon must be playing a joke on me, I decided. But it couldn't be Simon. Simon doesn't play jokes. He's always serious, like Batman. I climbed back into bed and stared at the window.
Watching, waiting, commiserating,
and waiting for the window to open up again. But my eyelids grew heavy, and I fell asleep.
Drinking break. I have one last drink left in my cocktail, then I'll switch to beer.
The next morning, I woke up late. Brutus always wakes me up, but he didn't today.
So I guess it's not always then, is it, idiot?
I bolted up in bed to check the window. Closed. I glanced at my desk chair. Brutus was gone. I dressed quickly. I caught my reflection in the mirror as I headed out of my room. I looked wrecked.
Sammy, you look awful, Mom said.
Wow, don't sugarcoat it, eh, Mom?
Did you get to bed last night? I slumped down at the kitchen table. Dad sat across from me, reading the newspaper.
No, not too late, I told Mom.
Dad peered over the newspaper.
You're reading too many of those ghost books, Sammy. If you read about real science, you'd sleep better.
Dad went back to his newspaper. Mom poured some cereal into my breakfast bowl. I ate one spoonful, and Simon called me.
Sammy, Come up here, he shouted from his bedroom. I need your help. I ignored him. I ate another spoonful. Sammy, he screamed. Franklin, you want to go down? Go. Sammy, go see what your brother wants, Mom ordered. Sammy, bo-bammy, banana fanafo, come here, idiot. What? I cried, charging into his room. What's your problem? That, he said, pointing to the bed. That's my problem. Brutus lay curled up in Simon's bed. He slept in here last night, Simon said. I guess Simon told him to sleep there because Simon said, oh man, good stuff, dude. And now I can't get him out. He won't move. Brutus slept in here? I couldn't believe it. Brutus always sleeps in my room. Always. Yes, he slept in here, Sammy said, and I want him out. What's the big deal? Just leave him here. I turned to the door. Wait, Simon yelled. I can't leave him here. I can't. Why not? I asked, confused. Because I have to make my bed, Simon answered like a little bitch. I stared hard at my brother. What planet are you from? Sammy, Simon whined. I have to make my bed, Mom says. Just make the bed over him. Mom won't notice a lump. You know how long she went without realizing she had breast cancer. I returned to the kitchen a few seconds later. I sat down at the table. Mom peered over my shoulder. Sammy, how did you finish your cereal so fast? Huh? I stared down into my breakfast bowl. Totally empty! Oh no! That's the cliffhanger at the end of the chapter. It's so spooky! Alright, I'm now drinking a Kirkland Signature craft brewed brown ale because I had a small housewarming at my new house, finally, a little party on Saturday, and I was left in my fridge because my friends are very classy and bring over a Costco beer. I was drinking the drink that should catch on. People should call it like a spooky dune or something like that, which is just get a highball glass, fill it to the top with ice, then fill it between, I don't know, 2/3 and 3/4 with vodka, and then put some old-fashioned bottled cream soda on top. That's what I've been drinking. It's delicious. You know, it's very, very strong, but, you know, does its job. Chapter number 5. Someone ate my cereal, I stammered like a bad commercial. You're right, Mom gasped. It must have been a ghost. Mom and Dad laughed. Probably not with him, probably Adam. I stared at the empty bowl and the spoon. Look, I shouted. Someone did eat my cereal. I have proof. The spoon, it's on the left side of the bowl. I always put my spoon on the right side of the bowl because I'm right-handed, see? It was a Southpaw ghost. I pointed to the spoon. To the proof. The proof is in the pudding eating device. Right? Right, kids? Stop fucking around, Sammy. You're gonna be late for school. Mom turned to Dad. We'd better get going, too. Didn't you do it? I asked Dad as he reached for his briefcase. Did you eat my cereal? Did you move the spoon? Was it a joke? By the way, if you want to eat cereal like my dad did when I was a kid, you take at least 2 different kinds of cereal and mix them in the bowl together. I don't think I've ever seen my dad eat a bowl of cereal that wasn't like some amalgam of every cereal in there. So, you know, that's what you should do. That's what old Dune does. Surprises the kids. Shocking. You're reading too many ghost stories, Dad said, much like Dune's dad says about Goosebumps. When are you going to get a real job? When are you going to make a grandkid? Shut up, Dad! Way too many. Then he and Mom hurried off for work. For a few minutes, I sat at the kitchen table. Just sat there, staring into my empty cereal bowl. Someone ate my cereal. I am not going crazy, I told myself. Someone ate my cereal. But who? Ooh, drinking break. Sammy? Huh? Sammy, would you like to tell us what is so fascinating outside? Miss Starkling crossed her arms in front of her, waiting for my answer. A few kids giggled.
I had been gazing out the window, thinking about my window, my open bedroom window, and my disappearing cereal. Nothing, I said. I mean, I wasn't looking at anything. Back off me, bitch. Some more giggles. Sammy, come up to the chalkboard, please, and show the class how to finish this equation. But it's Roxanne's turn, I blurted out. I mean, isn't Roxanne supposed to show the class today? Sammy, please. Miss Starkling tapped the chalkboard with a piece of chalk. Now. I glanced at Roxanne. She just shrugged her shoulders. I was in big trouble, presumably in Little China, which is an area of this tiny town that we live in because all Goosebumps towns don't have more than 20,000 people. I didn't do my math homework last night, and I didn't do it this morning either because Brutus didn't wake me up on time. Teacher, I know you've heard that, like, dogs have eaten homework, but, like, my cat didn't wake me up when he's supposed to because he's fucking lazy, so... Sorry. My temples pounded as I made my way up to the front of the classroom. I walked slowly, staring at the equation, trying to figure out how to solve it before I got up there. I had no idea. Miss Starkling handed me the piece of chalk. Silence fell over the classroom. You could hear a mouse fart. I stared hard at the numbers on the board. My palms began to sweat like in the beginning of that Eminem song. Read the equation out loud, Miss Starkling suggested. She said it nicely, but I could tell she was losing her patience. I read the equation out loud. It didn't help. I lifted the chalk to the board. Even though I still didn't know what to do, I stared at the numbers some more. I heard the sounds of kids shifting impatiently in their seats, as if the whole class had to fart collectively at once. 2 fart jokes in like less than 30 seconds? What's going on, dude? Get your shit together. I placed the chalk against the board and gasped. I felt something squeeze my hand, something cold and wet. My knees started to shake. I felt hot breath right up against my face, like when you get hugged by an old man. I tried to step back, but I couldn't move. Something squeezed my fingers tighter and tighter, squeezed until it hurt, as if I was throwing up 80 gang signs at once. Ow! The breathing against my face grew more rapid, sharp gasps that stung my cheeks. I wanted to pull free, but then my hand started to move across the chalkboard. My hand was moving, and it started to write. Someone was writing numbers for me. Someone was holding my hand, moving it, solving the equation. Someone I couldn't see. And then, on the board, it said, "Tweet Dune at Dune on Twitter." It didn't say that shit, and I regret saying it myself. Speaking of Twitter, shout out to Alan and Hannah Dixon. Dixon their face. No, but seriously, shout out to them. Apparently it's Hannah's birthday right now, so happy birthday. Maybe this will even go out tonight, but, you know, Dixon. You know what that sounds like, right? Like, instead of D-I-X-O-N, it's like dicks as in penises, then in, you know? Good stuff. Anyway, happy birthday, Anna. Chapter 6. I yanked my Dixon. Just kidding. I yanked my hand back as if I was going to smack a bitch. I jerked free of the clammy, invisible grip. Then I dropped the chalk and started screaming and ran from the room. I ran into the hall. I leaned against the wall. I let out a call. Hey, touch my balls. Just kidding. I like when it rhymes. I leaned against the wall outside the classroom. My hands were shaking. My knees trembled. I could still feel the cold, ghostly fingers wrapped around my hand. I heard Roxanne inside, volunteering to finish the equation. Sammy, Miss Starkling met me out in the hall. What happened? Are you sick? Would you like to see the school nurse? I'm not sick, I stammered. I didn't want to explain what happened. I couldn't explain it. I didn't even want to try. Are you sure you don't want to see the nurse? You don't look well. Dude sneezed. Oh, wait. What? Goddamn. All right, we're good now. Miss Starkling felt my forehead. No, I'm okay. I lied like Gerard Way. I just felt a little dizzy because I didn't eat breakfast this morning. Miss Starkling believed me. She sent me to the lunchroom to get something to eat. As I made my way down the hall, I could still feel the clammy hand gripping my fingers, as if there was a clammy hand gripping Dune's sinuses because he might sneeze again and he's trying desperately not to. Still feel the hot breath on my face. Still feel the cold force as it pushed my hand along the board, guiding it, writing the numbers for me. I shivered. Maybe Dad is right. Maybe I have been reading too many ghost stories.
Drinking break.
I walked home alone after school. I wanted to be by myself, to think. I heard footsteps behind me, footsteps pounding the pavement, running toward me. Sammy, wait up. It was Roxanne. I pretended I didn't hear her. I kept walking. Sammy, Roxanne, caught up. Out of breath. What happened to you today? Nothing happened. Something happened, she insisted. Something happened to you in math class. I don't want to talk about it, I told her. I'm really good at math. Roxanne said smugly. I'd be happy to help you if you don't understand it. I don't need help, I replied through gritted teeth. I began to walk faster, but Roxanne kept up with me. We didn't talk. Finally, Roxanne, I forgot to do it last time, so let's give another one. Roxanne broke the silence. Let's go to the haunted house Saturday night for our project, okay? Maybe. I have to go home now. I'll call you later to talk about it. I broke into a run. I left Roxanne on the sidewalk. Staring after me. I wanted to get home. I wanted to think about everything that had happened. I wanted to think about it by myself. In the shower. With shampoo in my ow, God, it burns! As I headed into the house, I wondered about my bedroom window. Would it be open? I made sure it was closed before I left this morning. But that didn't mean shit. I started up the stairs, but I stopped when I heard Brutus meowing loudly in the kitchen. He always does that when he wants to go out. Okay, I'm coming. Brutus started to wail.
Stir it up.
Because, like, still making Wailers jokes, never mind.
Hold it down, Brutus. I said I was. I stopped in the kitchen door. There was Brutus, crouched on a chair. His fur stood straight up. He pulled back his lips in a menacing hiss. I followed his gaze and let out a shriek. A pizza sat on the table. A slice from the pie floated above the plate. Floated up by itself like on the cover of the book. I stared in shock as it rose higher and higher.
Who's there? I stammered. I know someone's there. Who are you?
Another shout out to Jeffrey on his FedEx truck delivering packages, yeah.
Chapter fucking 7.
Who are you?
I demanded again.
No answer. I stared at the pizza slice. Stared as it floated in midair. I watched as it was chewed up, bite by bite.
Tell me who you are, I shouted. You're really scaring me.
Another bite disappeared from the floating slice of pizza. And another.
This isn't happening. It can't be. I whispered.
I'll close my eyes. When I open them, I'll see that I imagined the whole thing. I told myself, I'll never read another ghost book again. I promised, because reading's for gay lords. Or watch a sci-fi movie, because I'm not some nerd virgin, am I right? Another bite of pizza disappeared. I closed my eyes. I opened them. The slice of pizza was gone. No way, Jose, someone done ate all the pizza. I let out a long sigh of relief. Then I realized it was gone. Eaten.
Who are you?
I demanded. Tell me right now, or I'll... Sammy, who are you talking to?
Mom stood in the kitchen doorway, staring at me.
There's someone here, I cried. Someone eating pizza.
I can see that, Mom said.
I can see that someone has eaten half a pizza before dinner.
Sammy, you know you're not supposed to eat before dinner.
I didn't!
It wasn't me, I cried.
When someone was eating pizza,
it wasn't me.
Mom was like, who ate all the pizza? It wasn't me. I saw it on the kitchen counter and was like, man, I've eaten pizza before.
It wasn't me.
Of course it wasn't you, Mom said.
It was the ghost from this morning, right? The one who ate your cereal.
Sammy, please. This is serious. How many times have I told you no snacking before dinner, you fat shit? You're old enough to know better.
Diabetes, Sammy, diabetes.
But Mom...
No butts, except for the butts growing out of your chin.
I guess they're extra chins, but you're fat, Sammy.
I want you to go up to your room and straighten it up.
And straighten it up before we eat, Mom ordered.
You left a mess this morning. Please put your dirty clothes in the hamper and make your bed.
But half the day is over. I don't want to make my bed now, I argued.
Sammy!
Mom narrowed her eyes.
Mom narrows her eyes when she's angry. Right now, her eyes were really narrowed, like you could blindfold her with dental floss narrow.
Go!
Mom opened the refrigerator to get a drink. I turned to leave the kitchen and froze. Right behind Mom, Brutus started to rise up from the kitchen chair, floating up,
rising higher and higher.
His fur stood straight up. He gazed down at the floor and let out a cry. He stretched out his paws to leap.
Mom, look! I cry, look at Brutus!
Mom whirled around too late. Brutus had landed safely back on the kitchen chair. Mom's eyes grew really, really narrow.
Go up to your room now, Sammy.
What could I do? I left the kitchen and headed for the stairs. I turned into my room and gasped. My room! My room looked like a garbage dump. Cereal boxes were strewn on the bed. Greasy food containers and crushed juice boxes littered my desk, my dresser, my chair, my everywhere. I took a step inside and heard a loud crunch. I glanced down and groaned.
Frosted Flakes and Corn Pops carpeted the room floor.
I gotta have my pops, but not on the floor, goddammit!
Who did this? I cried.
Who trashed my room? I collapsed on my bed and felt something sticky on the back of my pants.
Oh no, I done did a poo-poo on my pants.
Good stuff, dude.
Ah, gross, I moaned. It's peanut butter jelly.
I pulled back the blanket for a clean place to sit and found strands of last night's spaghetti and some half-eaten chicken legs.
Who would do this? I shook my head. Who? Who is the kind of monster that you go eat chicken wings with and they eat only like half the meat off of it and then you have to awkwardly eat it off their plate like Dune does to his fiance? Who?
Does Simon's room look like this? I wondered. And Mom and Dad's room? I ran down the hall to check.
Simon's room was spotless.
Mom and Dad's room was perfectly clean, too. I walked back to my room and froze.
Sammy!
Mom planted her hands firmly on her hips. Her face burned red with anger.
What have you done?
So when I'm recording, I tend to come up with random ways to procrastinate inadvertently. And this time I was like, whatever happened with that Hyperlapse app, I'm going to download that and then give a whole walking tour of the new house. That'll be really cool. So I did so and did 3 tours of it. And then finally on the last one where I'm like, I really got it right this time, it crashed. And I was like, motherfucker. And then anyway, I should just be doing Goosebumps. And the best place to start doing Goosebumps is Chapter 8.
I didn't do it, Mom, I cried. I didn't make the mess.
Give me a break, Mom sighed.
If you didn't do it, who did?
I didn't do it.
Your father didn't do it. Simon didn't do it. The cat didn't do it, idiot. Tell me, Sammy, who done did it? Maybe it was Simon. I didn't know what else to say, but I shouldn't have said that. First, you trash your room. Then, you try to blame your little brother. Sammy, I don't know what's gotten into you. I don't want to see you downstairs until this room sparkles. Your father and I will discuss what to do about you later. Mom turned to leave. And don't come down for dinner. You've eaten quite enough.
Aw, that's a bummer. When a ghost eats all your food and you get all skinny and shit, that sucks. That's what happened to Lindsay Lohan. Oh, sorry. Retraction. That was meth.
Allegedly. I stood in the center of my room and listened to Mom's footsteps fade down the stairs. How am I going to clean up this mess? I moaned. It will take me a year.
I'll help you.
Who said that? I spun around to face the doorway. No one there. Come on, Sammy, a boy's voice urged. Let's get going, or we'll never clean up this mess. I watched in disbelief as a cereal box floated up from my bed, floated up and threw itself into the trash.
Who are you? I stammered. How do you know my name?
Another cereal box started to rise and another. They tossed themselves into the trash too.
You should be recycling those motherfuckers.
I waited for the boy to answer, but he didn't. I stared at the last cereal box, waiting for it to rise. It didn't move.
Where are you?
I whispered. No answer. I scanned my bedroom, searching for a sign of him. Where did he go? I heard a rustling sound and spun around. My pillow hovered in the air. I watched as the pillowcase slid off it, all by itself. Where are the clean sheets, Sammy? You know, you should make your bed in the morning, like Simon.
How do you know me? My voice started to rise. How do you know my name? Who are you?
Calm down, the boy said. No reason to get stressed. I arrived last night. I found out your name from
Roxanne.
You know Roxanne? I sputtered. No, I don't know Roxanne. I heard her use your name last night, he explained, when she came over to do homework with you.
What?
Are you? I asked slowly. My heart pounded as I waited for the boy's answer, but he didn't answer me.
What are you? I cried out. Tell me, what are you? Are you a ghost?
Chapter number 9.
A ghost? The boy broke into a fit of laughter. You don't believe in ghosts, do you? The boy asked.
No, of course not, I shouted.
I don't believe in ghosts. I just believe in invisible kids. Coney, 2012.
Okay, I see your point, he said.
No, I'm not a ghost. I'm alive. A loud scraping sound cut through the air. I jumped in surprise and saw my chair move out from my desk.
I hope it's okay if I sit down, he said.
Wow, it's hot in her. Yesterday's math homework floated up from my desk and began fanning the air.
Are you the one who keeps opening my bedroom window? I demanded.
Uh-huh. It's really hot up here.
Why do you keep it so hot in your room? He asked.
Forget about the window, I said. What do you want? Why are you here? Did you trash my room?
Fuck. I guess I really made a mess in here.
I was really hungry. Sorry. But I'll help you clean up.
The boy's voice grew softer.
I just want to be your friend, Sammy.
That's ridiculous, I said. How can you be my friend? I can't even see you. You're invisible.
I know, the boy said softly. He sounded kind of sad. I've been invisible for as long as I can remember. That's why it's so hard to have friends.
Well, who are your parents? I asked.
I don't know. I really don't. My parents left me here for some reason. I don't know where they went. I know my name. That's about it. My name is Brent Green, and I'm 12. Brent Green, an invisible boy right in my room. It's hard to believe. I mean, I've read a ton of science fiction books, and I really believe in a lot of that stuff.
but an invisible boy right here in my room? Whoa. Brent, I don't know if I can be friends with you. I mean, this is weird. Sammy, who are you talking to? Simon done walked straight into my fucking room. He glanced around. Hey, there's no one there. Were you talking to yourself? I turned away from my desk chair. Yeah, Simon, I was talking to myself. I didn't want to tell Simon about Brent. Not yet, anyway. I wanted to find out more about him first. I wanted to be an expert on invisible people before I told anyone in my family. You're nuts, Sammy. You are really nuts. You're pistachios. You're almonds. You're cashews. You're something toes, which is not appropriate anymore. Simon gazed around the room. Boy, this place is a total mess. How could you do this? No wonder Mom is so angry. You are in major trouble. Major, major trouble. Simon picked up a chicken bone from my bed. Yuck! He held it between two fingers, then let it drop back on the sheet. That's gross. He tiptoed carefully over the cereal on the floor. He slowly made his way to my chair. Brent's chair. Don't sit there. I tried to warn Simon, but it was too late. He already done sat there, huh? I'm gonna keep reading. I might finish this beer first, though. Listen to me drink.
Chapter 10.
I watched as the chair flew out from under Simon. Flew out by itself. Simon landed hard on the floor. He sat in a glob of grape jelly, his mouth gaping in shock. That was mean, Sammy. I'm telling Mom. I didn't do anything, you little bitch, I protested. You missed the chair. It's your own fault. You're drunk, idiot. Simon struggled to his feet and marched out of my room. Ha 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 ha! Brent laughed. Good one, right, Sammy? I pulled that chair right out from under him. Simon was downstairs right now telling Mom what a horrible thing I had done to him. But I was already in trouble, I decided, so what difference did it make? And I had to admit, watching Simon fall was pretty funny. Maybe having an invisible friend wouldn't be too weird after all. I mean, it could be kind of fun. Brent, what's it like to be invisible? I mean, can you walk through things? I asked. No, Brent answered. I can't walk through anything. Are you, you dressed? I asked. Brent laughed. Don't worry, Sammy, I'm dressed, he said. Then he sighed loudly. You know, I'm just a regular kid. I'm just like you. Only invisible. Watch, how funny would this be if, like, the twist at the end was that he only saw the invisible kid Brent at night, and it turns out he's just black, and he grew up so sheltered he'd never seen a black person before. It's like, Brent smiled, and I could see his teeth. That's all. That's my theory on this one. I'm just like you, only invisible. Suddenly, I had a great idea. Brent. Could you make me invisible just for a little while so I can see what it's like? I wish I could. That'd be fun, but I don't know how to make someone invisible. Sorry. He apologized. Hey, I think we better get back to work here. This place is still a disaster. Brent and I finished cleaning the room just as the front doorbell rang. I heard Mom answer it. A second later, Roxanne! Dunn burst into my room, carrying about 1,000 books all Hermione style. She let them drop to the floor with a crash. Hi, Sammy, she smiled. I came over to help you with your homework. I brought all my math books. Boy, am I glad you're here, I said. Roxanne smiled. I knew you'd want my help. Not with that, I shoved her books aside. I want you to meet someone. His name is Brent. He's an invisible boy. And he's here, right in this room. Roxanne's eyes opened wide. An invisible boy? She whispered. Yes, I said, he's here. Roxanne glanced around my room and screamed. I see him. You do? I asked. Yes, she repeated, pointing to my desk. I see him. He's standing right there.
Chapter 11, that's that number with two ones.
You can see him? I gasped, amazed. I faced my desk. I squinted, staring really hard. I didn't see shit.
Roxanne laughed.
Gotcha.
She gave me a not-so-friendly clap on the back.
Clap on the back means butt chlamydia.
And I stumbled forward. I'm tired of this dumb game.
Roxanne
groaned.
Do you want to do math or not?
But I'm not kidding, I insisted. This is not a joke.
Roxanne
dropped down on my bed and sighed. I'll prove it to you, I told her. Watch.
I gazed around my room trying to figure out where he was.
Brent, pick up one of Roxanne's books from the floor, I said. Show her you're here. I lowered my gaze to the floor.
Wait till she sees this, I thought. She'll totally freak.
I kept my eyes glued to the pile, waiting for one of them to float up.
Nothing happened.
Please, Brent, I begged. I grabbed a pencil from my desk. I held it out.
Take this pencil from me. Make it float across the room.
Nothing.
Roxanne
rolled her eyes. Please, I don't have time for these stupid jokes, Sammy.
I need to stop doing the Roxanne thing. It dries out my throat.
Besides, it's not funny. Brent. Hey, Brent. It was no use. Brent was not going to cooperate. I dropped into my desk chair and threw my hands up in the air and waved them around like I just don't care about Brent.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks a lot.
Ready for math?
Roxanne asked.
No, I'm not ready, I snapped.
You don't have to yell. You don't have to be such a fucking asshole all the time. Goddamn, I'm just trying to help you with math, idiot, she said.
Actually, I came over for another reason. She slid off the bed and started collecting her math books from the floor. I came over to see if you were going to the haunted house Saturday night or not.
We don't have to go to the haunted house, I cried. We can do a report right here, right in my room. We can do a report on Brent. Brent the Invisible Kid.
Yeah.
Roxanne started to lift her big pile of books from the floor.
The Invisible Kid, right. Sounds like an early 90s karate movie.
My shoulders sagged.
Listen, Sammy, we have to start our project. It's going to be the best report in the whole class.
No, it'll be the best report anyone ever did in the history of the whole school.
Yes, reports, motherfucker!
Can't we talk about this tomorrow, Roxanne? I'm really not in the mood right now.
I was tired and hungry and PMSing. I hadn't eaten anything since lunchtime, and I wanted to try to talk to Brent again.
No, we cannot talk about this tomorrow. I could see that Roxanne was beginning to lose her patience.
We have to start planning now. I want to go to Hedge House Saturday night.
What's Hedge House?
I asked. Wait, was that Brent's name? Was it like Brent Hedge? God damn it, I wish I had a memory. Let me go back. Let's see what Brent's name is. Brent. Still going back. Give me a second. Brent Green. No, not Hedge.
All right, you know, it was worth a try, seeing if he was one of the people that died in that house. Maybe he's a bastard son. We'll see.
What's Hedge House? I asked.
Roxanne sighed loudly.
Hedge House is the haunted house, the one near the college. That's what it's called. I've been reading all about it, like some sort of newsie. Extra.
Read all the fucking name.
Roxanne shuffled through her pile of books. Here it is. Here's the book about Hedge House. Do you want to hear some of it?
Do I have a choice? I asked myself. I leaned back in my chair and tried to pay attention.
Roxanne stood in the middle of the room and began to read.
There have been many stories about the horrors of Hedge House, she started, but the true horror began when the Stilson?
Is that the same name as the teacher? I'm not going back.
Family moved into town. They moved into Hedge House. No one had lived there in years because everyone knew the house was haunted.
Tall, dark hedges grew around the house, enclosing it, sealing it off from the curious eyes.
Every year, the hedges, that's what it's named after, grew taller and taller until they turned the color of night and shaded the highest windows.
The local people knew why the hedges grew that way. It was the will of the ghost.
they said, to keep the house chilly and dark, as cold and icy as the spirit itself.
Ah, just like Brent wants the windows open because he gets hot all the time, but so does Dune.
Everyone knew that, everyone, but the Stilson family. From the day the Stilsons moved in, the hedge house ghost visited 10-year-old Jeffrey Stilson's bedroom. The ghost visited every night.
Jeffrey,
the ghost moaned like Young Thug.
She calling me Jeffrey. I protect it like a seatbelt. Nigga, money stacked up like three shelves.
Sorry. I really like Young Thug. I just saw him live like 3 weeks ago. Anyway.
Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you.
Each night, Jeffrey woke up shaking, frightened.
Ah, he's got the shakes and the fear. He needs to stop drinking so much. Or keep it up and drink at that point. I don't know.
He stared hard into the darkness of his room, searching for the man behind the voice, but no one was ever there. He told his parents about the nightly visits, told them again and again, but they didn't believe him.
Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you.
The ghost's voice returned one very chilly evening. I need you.
What do you need?
Jeffrey cried out.
Tell me what you want.
At the sound of Jeffrey's voice, the ghost appeared. It was the ghost of a young man from a long time ago, possibly from a galaxy far, far away. Jeffrey could tell from the clothes it wore, short, baggy black pants that ended below the knees, black socks pulled up high to meet the pants cuffs, and black boots with shiny silver buckles like a motherfucking leprechaun. Jeffrey stared at the ghost. He stared in horror at its black shirt, at the right sleeve that hung loosely at the ghost's side, all loose and floppy like your mother, the sleeve with no arm inside.
Come with me, Jeffrey, the ghost moaned. Come with me. Let me spray my ectoplasm all over you to learn the secret of this awful house.
Roxanne closed the book and placed it down in her bed.
What's the secret? I demanded. What's the secret of Hedge House?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part yet, Roxanne said, but I can tell you this. I know some people who've been inside Hedge House, and they say all kinds of spooky things happen there.
Like what? I asked.
Well, they say the doors open and close all by themselves.
Like Walmart, she replied.
I gasped as the door behind Roxanne opened and closed by itself.
That's right, Sammy, Roxanne said. It does make you lose your breath when you think about it.
The door opened and closed again.
Very funny, Brent, I thought.
And they say the books float right off the bookshelves, Roxanne continued. Brent began juggling three of my textbooks behind Roxanne's back.
Do 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 bang da 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 bang da 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 da.
Round and round they went, with the middle one always popping up right over Roxanne's head. I couldn't help myself. I started to laugh. What's funny, Sammy? Roxanne frowned at me. I raised my hand to point behind her, but the books floated back to the shelf.
I sighed. Nothing.
Good, because this is not funny, okay? It's like Kevin Hart. It's just not funny. I'm very serious about this report. I want it to be the best, and I want you to take great video shots to prove the ghost of Hedge House really exists. My video camera floated up from the floor, aimed itself at Roxanne's back, and I burst out laughing again. Sammy! Roxanne jumped up angrily. Quit it, she shouted. I'm going to strangle you if you don't stop laughing.
Laughing.
This report means a lot to me. It's not just a grade. If I do find the ghost, it's going to make me famous, and I can be Roxanne Kardashian.
Huh?
I stared at her. Roxanne took a deep breath. Then she continued. They say the ghost really hates light.
They say if a light shines on him, he explodes into a rage and destroys anything in his path. I heard a soft squeak. I glanced around the room and saw the light bulb in the ceiling fixture turning all by itself. Brent is standing on my dresser, I realized. He's unscrewing the light bulb. Roxanne, quick, I shouted. Look up at the ceiling. See that? Now do you believe me?
Chapter 12.
Do you see it, Roxanne? I jumped up from my chair, really excited. Now Roxanne would have to believe me. I pointed to the light bulb as it slowly turned in the socket by itself. See? I shouted. Now you believe me, right? It's the Invisible Kid. I spun around. I couldn't wait to see the amazing look on her face. Roxanne wasn't amazed. In fact, I couldn't even see her face because she was wearing a burqa. That's right. Roxanne is Muslim, and R.L. Stine never brought it up because he's so progressive he didn't even think of saying it. She was kneeling down, head bent, gathering her books up from the floor. I glanced back up at the ceiling. The light bulb wasn't turning anymore. Roxanne, why didn't you look? I cried. You missed it. You should have looked when I told you to. I should have picked a different partner, Roxanne groaned. I'm tired of your dumb jokes, Sammy, and overall I'm just tired of your bullshit, dude. Fuck you. I collapsed back into my desk chair. Roxanne balanced the stack of books in her arms and headed for the door. Oh, I get it. She whirled around to face me. Now I understand what you're doing. Huh? If you don't want to come with me to the haunted house, just say so, Roxanne said. You don't have to make up these stupid stories. Roxanne was angry. I usually enjoy making Roxanne angry, but not this time. An idiot, she mumbled in her breath. You think I'm a total idiot. I'm leaving now, Sammy. I'm leaving you and your invisible friend. Then she stormed out of my room like Hurricane Katrina. Are you still here, Brent? I asked, searching around. Why don't you go after your friend? She seems to be the only friend you have, and you clearly pissed her off. No answer. I jumped up from my chair. I know you're here, Brent. Why'd you do that to me? I clenched my fists into two tight balls. Why didn't you show Roxanne that you were here? I cried angrily. Silence. Okay, I'm sorry I yelled. I didn't really mean to yell at you, Brent. I just wanted Roxanne to believe me. I sat back down in my chair. I took a deep breath. Did you hear me, Brent? I said I was sorry. No answer. Please answer me. Please reply. I repeated. I want to talk to you. I want to find out more about you. The room remained silent. Brent was gone. For good? And so ends part one of My Best Friend is Invisible by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm assuming, based on the title, that Brent's going to come back and they're going to become friends and kayak and do best friend shit together. I don't know what best friends do. We mostly just barbecue and drink and work on ridiculous projects. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, I'm Dune. You know, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm glad I finished this. I'm going to get it up right now. My fiance is very late at work, and I feel bad for her. I'm going to try to do something nice, but she hasn't been feeling well. I'm going to go see No Effects tomorrow with Chris. That's just exciting. And yeah, until then, I'm Dune. Stay spooky, bitches.